Let's see here. Step six would be compensating this individual at $26.71, which comes to a total of $55,600. And should they want the minimum total benefits, we would that would be an additional $18,000, roughly $18,500. To their package. The mid-range around that would be $28,000, and the maximum total benefit would be $29,000. So the total compensation of an individual taking this position would be anywhere from $74,000 to $105,000. So I have been working with Lisa very closely to try to put this before you. I'm not quite prepared. I expect to by the next assembly meeting to be able to put this before you, but I just wanted to make you aware of it and give myself over to you for questions should you have any questions about that.
So if I may, Rod, the other part of this is because the position was formally groundman meter reader, we are proposing to take away the groundman meter reader position and replace it with the groundman / apprentice diesel mechanic, and then take what we actually had originally talked about was contracting out the work for meter reading. Rod has actually requested, as you can see in his summary here, that he would rather make that a permanent part-time position, whereby that person would only work when the meters are being read. So essentially 5 days a month. And
right.
We have some compensation information there. Obviously it's considerably less, but because we would end up having I don't even know if it would be a 1.2, almost a, let's say a 0.25 addition in staff to the department. And the groundman / apprentice diesel mechanic would obviously be a higher wage than the previous groundman meter reader position. But it is something that is far more needed in the department operationally than the configuration we had previously.
I'll also add that the new position that I'm proposing here would require a budget amendment. The other position of the meter reader, just as a meter reader, is already accounted for within my wage and salaries budget for the line part department. Yes.
Do you have an idea of what the net change in personnel costs would be?
I have not figured the net change. No, I'm sorry, I haven't.
We certainly would.
How many staff do you have if you include this new job?
See, I have three linemen, one powerhouse operator, and an assistant. So that's a total of five positions. This would be six.
No.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry. I apologize. Yes.
And then with the meter reader position, that would be seven.
So we currently are at six employees. We would stay at six employees and add approximately a 0.25 to read meters.
Okay.
So we
correct.
We would eliminate the groundman meter.
We just don't have that position yet filled.
Correct.
Right.
And replace it. We would eliminate the groundman meter reader position, replace it with the groundman / apprentice diesel mechanic position, and then add approximately, even if it would, I'm not even sure it would equate to a 0.25 meter reader position.
So.
That's correct.
So my other question is, you're going to have six people there. I just got to throw this out there. 5 days of work, you can't have one person. You have to have a meter reader. Does it have a meter? I mean,
the meter reader.
Can she read one day? I read the next day. She read the next day. I mean, is there some way in the staff that you can't have that done?
The meters need to be read within a certain time frame. I've worked with Sherry on this issue, seeing if we could spread it out or we could move it around, And it, because of the nature of our software covering meter reading, it would be nearly impossible to change the meter reading schedule or the when it's read. What I'm finding out is that it does put a burden, and it's not a nominal burden, but it's not an, I won't characterize it as an excessive burden, but it is a burden for our linemen to read meters or to ask Dominique to read meters. They have been doing it since the time since we lost Lauren. However, that's come at a cost, and in my office I have a whole list of items that I'm trying to get done, you know, and I'm trying to schedule those out. And for instance, you may have seen that we're finishing up the Church Street pole replacement project. Recently, you've seen our linemen out there replacing poles. Well, in part, and I'm not going to characterize it as a total thing, but it has had its impact. So for a solid week, I have people out not doing lineman work or not doing administration work. So it does have an impact. I think that if I had a meter reader that was exclusive to that function, then I could free up to get some of these other things done that I hope to get done as well. Does that answer your question?
So we did look extensively at changing the position of admin to be admin and meter reader, but it's very difficult to have her out of the office for a solid week to do that. And as Rod said, we are constrained, unfortunately, by the software we have and the timing we have to get our billing done in order to do that. So there's a very finite window of time in which stuff can be done. So we did explore that. However, we have not looked at, as you say, splitting those duties, the routes, and assigning those out to multiple staff. And although I agree there's always an opportunity cost associated with that, we have not taken a hard look at whether that's a plausible option, so we should do that when we come back to you.
Okay. Assembly Member Decker.
How many more poles do you have to replace?
In Case Avenue, Church Street, those are the last three that are associated with that project. Those are the last three. It's going to take us a while to finish everything. We've got a diesel run coming up. We've got one of my linemen is going to have his family's going to have a baby. Pretty exciting. He'll be out for a while. So it's going to be a while before I can actually put the period on that. But getting the poles in there was huge. So yeah, we made some major progress this week. So yeah.
Any other questions?
So I just would like to just make sure we're clear that the proposal here it is to add a second position that would be an apprentice groundman, and then modify a previous existing position to be a meter reader only. Any issues around that other than what's been discussed? Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Assembly. Appreciate that.
All right. Item 13B, proposed resolution number 08-19-1476 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, supporting the Small County PILT Parity Act.
Move to approve resolution 08-19-1476.
Second.
All right, we have a motion on the floor. Any discussion?
So, Madam Mayor, this is fairly self-explanatory. Senator Murkowski has introduced federal legislation that would provide a greater PILT payment for those boroughs and those counties around the country that have a significant amount of federal lands within their jurisdiction, but have a very small population. Here in Wrangell, 97% of the property within our jurisdiction is U.S. Forest Service land that can never be developed. And so the PILT that we get, which is a payment in lieu of taxes from the federal government, although is a healthy chunk of money, it nowhere near comes close to the taxes that we would be able to get off of property that could be fully developed with businesses and other things. And so us having an opportunity to gain a little bit more ground in this respect is very helpful. And so this is why it's here for your support. And we'll forward this on to the federal delegation if you so choose to support it.
Any other questions? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assemblymember Stecker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13D, proposed resolution number 08-19-1478 of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2020 budget in the Water Fund by transferring $119,000 from Water Fund reserves to the Water Fund CIP expenditures for the Water Treatment Plan Improvements Project and authorizing its expenditure. Need a motion?
Did we skip one?
Yes, we skipped 13C.
Move to approve resolution number 08-1-1478.
Second.
All right. Any discussion?
Mayor, as the agenda statement states, we are required by our agreement with the USDA Rural Development for the grant and loan program for the proposed water treatment plant replacement project to have a local match of $119,000. There is a letter of conditions that has been provided to us and has been updated asking for a number of things. We are delayed on the vast majority of those because we are in limbo waiting for EDA to tell us whether or not we're going to get grant funds. But USDA nonetheless has asked us to move forward on those things we have the capacity to do. And we anticipated that we would not have to use our local match because we had gotten extra money from EDA in grant funds, but USDA said no dice. You said initially you were going to give us $119,000, and so you shall. And so here we are authorizing this. If for some reason the project doesn't come to pass, we will bring a resolution back to you putting this money back into the water reserve.
Repealing
the resolution. Yeah. Did I miss anything? Okay.
I know a lot of citizens have asked me what we're doing with the water treatment plant project, and it's not our fault. We are doing everything we can do, and it's federal red tape that we're having to deal with. So hopefully this will satisfy one condition, and we can hopefully move forward.
Right. Madam Mayor, I don't know. You may want to ask Amber just briefly to come to the podium. She can give you the most recent update on where we are with EDA.
I think the public would very much like to hear that.
Which is nowhere, but she's gonna explain that to you.
Yeah.
Hi, Amber Alhavad, Capital Facilities Director for the city. So where we are with EDA, the last conversation that I had with their regional grant specialist in Seattle is that we have made it through the review of all of their internal regional divisions, which includes their civil engineering staff, their environmental staff. I don't know that they have a water staff, and I would venture to guess that they don't, because one of the things I asked them most recently was, does it normally take this long to work through the process with your agency? And they said no. Wrangell's project has been the most difficult project for us to work through, mainly because of the complexity of the project, because we don't normally deal with water treatment plants. So just, I think, them trying to understand the project and all the complexities that are involved with water treatment and the importance of meeting regulations, and all of this was addressed in our grant application to stress the importance of this project. It was just unfamiliar to them, and the red tape that was involved with them checking all of their boxes, dotting all the I's, crossing all the T's, it just took them a lot of time. And I think that because they weren't familiar with it, a lot of the questions that they continued to ask that were repetitive were because they didn't understand the process. So we tried to say it a different way each time, but with the same information, just trying to hope that we could eventually get the point across. But we have passed all of those stages now. Regional has all of their individual divisions have reviewed all of that, and they've passed that on to the director. The regional director now has to make a decision and sign the document. And then it would be sent to their fiduciary agency back east to allocate the funding under their current fiscal year's budget. The money has been set aside for Wrangell. It's somewhat earmarked, but it's not approved, final approval, until that decision is made, the paperwork is signed, and they actually do it. And that all has to be done by the end of September, which is the end of the federal fiscal year. So what the Seattle regional staffer said to me was that you will hear from us one way or another by September 30th. If we don't get the approval by that time, he and I did not discuss what our next steps would be, but I anticipate that we would either need to reapply or just ask them to move our grant request forward for the next fiscal allocation consideration. So we're just waiting at this point in time to see if that decision will be made in our favor and if the funding will be allocated and approved in this current fiscal year.
So the public knows, how much money are we talking about?
We're asking for just under $3 million. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it's a considerable chunk, and
it is.
We just have to.
It's significant, and it's worth our while to work through this process with them.
And it's grant funding; it's not loan funding.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
This is money that the rate payers will not have to pay back mm-hmm. in this project, which is why it's so important.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion, comments? All right, poll vote, please.
Assemblymembers Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13E, resolution number 08-19-1479 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2020 budget in the Residential Construction Fund by accepting revenue from the sale of city-owned land to Job and Mary Montoy, as authorized in resolution number 07-19-1474 in the amount of $9,325 and authorizing its expenditure.
Move to approve resolution number 08-19-1479.
Second.
Okay. Discussion?
We worked with the Montoys to get them the information that they needed, and they came in and purchased the property. And so what we're doing is taking the revenue from that, putting it into the Residential Construction Fund as it was unbudgeted, and we'll be able to use that towards some of the projects we had planned out of that fund this year.
Great. Any discussion? All right. Poll vote, please.
Assemblymembers DeBoard?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13F, proposed resolution number 08-19-1480 of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2020 budget in the general fund by transferring $25,000 from the general fund reserves to capital facilities, capital equipment expenditures, for the purchase of a used vehicle and authorizing its expenditure.
Move for adoption of resolution number 08-19-1480.
Do I have a second?
Second.
We have an administrative report,
certainly,
please.
So essentially where we're at is we have three staff in the Capital Facilities Department, and we have one vehicle. The Capital Facilities Director, throughout her entire tenure, not only in this job, but her other jobs, has been driving her own personal vehicle, and that's not really an option for her anymore. So when we got ready to do the surplus sale this year, we had one of the used Crown Vics on it, and we took that off so that she was able to drive that. But we really need another vehicle so that we can divide and conquer and allow the staff to work independently. And what we're asking for is up to $25,000 to purchase a used rig. We got the preferred parameters from the garage maintenance lead, and he has suggested that we try to find something that is not more than 5 years old and has 50,000 miles, not more than 50,000 miles on it, if possible. But this is a maximum expenditure, and we hope to do less than that. We will be looking at a number of used options, including the GSA website, to see if there's something that we can do.
I also reached out to the Forest Service, as I understood, similar to the law enforcement vehicles that they may have, to discuss with us. They may have some other vehicles as well. So I'm waiting on a call from their fleet manager out of Ketchikan, so that they may also have something available. So we'll explore all options, looking for a decent used vehicle that would meet our needs.
Any questions, Assembly Member Decker?
What were the parts that were about from underneath the
roof? I'll defer to Roland on that.
One of the shocks pulled out of the frame, and when we put it up on the lift and inspected it, the frame was running through in four or five different places. It's just done.
It happens. Any other questions?
And I'll just, for the sake of adding another comment, that's the third vehicle in the last 2 years that we've had to dispose of because of a rusted out frame and just structural concerns. Yeah, so we have an aging fleet. We might expect to see more of those in the future. Just something to think about.
And it's not even acceptable for resale either, is it?
Well, the last one we surplused. The original recommendation was that we not surplus it, but it ended up being surplus. So
okay.
We surplused it for parts, and we put a clause in there that was recommended by the attorney that, you know, we accept no liability, structural integrity, you know, it outlined our thoughts on that vehicle. So.
And we're doing the same thing with this rig?
We would.
We will.
If that's, yes, if that's your desire.
I think that would be prudent.
And that would come before you under another disposal item later.
Any other questions? All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly Members Morrison?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13G, approval to authorize the borough manager to dispose of any city surplus items that were not bid out on the surplus sale.
Would you authorize the borough manager to dispose of any city surplus items that were not bid on for the surplus sale in a manner that is in the best interest of the city?
Second.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor. Any administrative report?
I'll let Kim go ahead and speak.
So, in the past, we've actually made this part of the motion when the surplus sale equipment is approved. And so this essentially allows for the borough manager, if there is an offer that comes before her, after such time as the over-the-counter sale advertising has been done, which it has, it's been weeks. So if she receives an offer that she thinks is in the best interest of the city to take it, she can. Further, if there are items on the surplus sale that are not worth anything, she has the option to dispose of those instead of just letting them sit.
Any questions?
And we'll report back to you on what revenue we receive.
Yep.
All right. These things.
Okay, hearing none, poll vote please.
Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13H, proposed resolution number 08-19-1481. Of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, adopting the environmental mitigation measures outlined in the March 2017 environmental review by Solstice Alaska Consulting for the water treatment plan improvements, design, and construction project.
Move to approve resolution number 08-19-1481.
Second.
All right. We have a motion and a late second coming in.
This is another one of those letters of condition or letter of condition requirements for the USDA Rural Development grant and loan package. And you can see what the mitigation requirements are. I had a conversation with Amber last Friday. The vast majority of these state and federal law, so I really don't know why they felt the need to restate them. Not only do I not understand why they felt the need to restate them, why the borough had to pay for a consultant to restate them in language that is worse than what the federal and state requirements are, but okay. So Amber may want to add to that. I just find redundancy of that nature to be wasteful, but it's a requirement.
Well, for $3 million,
almost six million USDA funds and grants and loans, I guess we'll
tie it up with a ribbon if they want it.
Right.
So, all right. Any other discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. All right, our last item, 13I, proposed resolution number 08-19-1482 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2020 budget in the general fund, transferring up to $50,000 from general fund reserves to the police department capital equipment expenditures for the purchase of two used U.S. Forest Service police vehicles.
Move to approve resolution number 08-19-1482.
Second.
All right. We have a motion on the table. An administrative report, please.
Certainly, Madam Mayor. Lieutenant Smith advised us that he was under the impression, actually, as did, I believe, Mr. Howell from Public Works, that two U.S. Forest Service vehicles, current law enforcement vehicles, were going to be surplus this fall. One is the vehicle used by the current law enforcement officer here in Wrangell that has just over 17,000 miles on it, and there is an exact duplicate of that being used by the Forest Service in Ketchikan that has, I think, 30,000 miles on it, if I'm recalling correctly. And what the Forest Service said when Lieutenant Smith talked to their fleet person is that they, rather than putting it out for bid, they would work with another law enforcement agency on selling something that was reasonably fair market value for those things. And so we had our fleet management crew take a look at things and look at the blue book value on them. And in addition to that, they will come with most of the bells and whistles that we would normally have to put on a police vehicle. And my understanding from Lieutenant Smith is that normally those accoutrements are about $8,000. So looking at the blue book and that, what I'm asking for is up to $50,000 to purchase these two. And when Lieutenant Smith first spoke to them, they said, well, yeah, we'd be happy to work with you, but Hoon is first on the list. And we thought we'd miss the opportunity, but the police chief in Hoon called Lieutenant Smith about a week or so ago and said, we're having to withdraw our request, so I think that puts us first on the list. So we want to be prepped and ready to go with authorization to expend this money if we have the opportunity to do it without having to worry about somebody else getting in line, especially because one of those vehicles is right here in town. And we can work undercover in it because it looks like a Forest Service vehicle.
Right.
Just kidding. Please don't pay attention to that listing, though.
Well, I like how staff and employees work together to try to find the best deal for Wrangell. And I think that speaks volumes. Any discussion on this item? Assemblymember Decker?
Looks like a good deal, but what would happen to the two Crown Victorias?
I think, actually, I'm going to let Roland speak to that.
They would be surplus in the same way. There's two more, they'd just be surplus.
And we talked about whether it would be two Crown Vics or it would be one Crown Vic and the Durango that we have. But the Durango is a four-wheel drive vehicle, so we would like to hang on to that longer than the Crown Vic.
And these two new ones would be four-wheel drive, too?
Yes, they are four-wheel drive, yeah.
Assemblymember Decker?
I don't know how old the Crown Vics are or whatever, but, my mind was thinking buying a used vehicle.
So the used vehicle is going to be for our maintenance staff that is actually working on things, and a Crown Vic is not an appropriate vehicle for somebody to be hauling tools and other things. And what we would probably do is if one of these Crown Vics is a better vehicle than the one that the director is currently driving, we'll probably swap those around. We may also keep one of those as a rig for consults, like when the assessors come to town, because that's the rig that is now dead. So
all I want to say is we need to keep one of the Crown Vics, because over the 4th of July there was one parked right as you come around the corner by the cemetery, and you couldn't see it until you got around the corner, but you could just see everybody slamming on their brakes because you're supposed to only be going 35, and they're coming through there at 50, and there was nobody in it.
Right.
It was just parked there, empty.
So now you've given away the trade secrets.
Well, I know. I'm sorry. I thought they should have a blow-up person in there.
So we will do what is what we certainly don't want to do is artificially grow the fleet. We will keep these for if it's necessary, and right now, because we don't have anything for folks like the assessors to use when they come into town, we may end up keeping one of those, but we will absolutely do what we need to do to surplus to make sure that we're not hanging on to vehicles we don't need to hang on to.
All right. Assemblymember DeBoard?
I would just like to acknowledge and thank Lieutenant Smith for coming up with this idea and saving us. I mean, we're going to get two for one for less than what a new one is.
That's right.
And then he also was part of the generator acquisition as well.
That's
two major things he's done for this community in less than a year, a major cost-saving item. So just would like to say thank you for that.
And he was instrumental in the cooperation with the city and the school on ALICE training, which is
making sure that
essential.
Officer Phillips is freed up to do that. Yep.
Yes. Assembly Member Decker.
Given that, maybe the manager, could you pass along an official email of thanks from the assembly?
I will. I also, just so that you know, I got lots of words of thanks about their efforts on this case over the weekend, and certainly pass that on to them that the assembly was so pleased and proud of the work that they did.
One last small thing. I would just like to say, if it comes down to just a few thousand dollars more than this $50,000, that you come back to us and make sure that we don't pass them up.
I won't let an opportunity slip away for a few extra bucks.
Yeah. Thank you.
We appreciate that.
I'll be prudent about that.
Any other questions or comments? All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. There is an attorney's file available in the
borough clerk's office and no executive session, and we are going to adjourn at 8:12.
Yahoo.
Can't believe it took that long.